Okay, I am trying to get a grip on everything that's happening today. This is Brighton Broadcast News for Thursday, September 14th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me. And I have an exclusive interview for you today with Jim Shepherd, the founder of Berkey, with some fresh details on how the EPA has targeted the Berkey water filter company by absurdly declaring Berkey water filters to be pesticides somehow because they remove COVID from water. And since, well, the EPA says since COVID is a pest, if you remove COVID from the water supply, then it's a pesticide, which doesn't make any sense. And therefore, water filters are now pesticides, but not all the water filters, just Berkey. It's insane, but that interview is coming up here today, and it's an eye-opener, let me tell you. We've also got a bombshell exclusive story that I have been working on for many hours on Natural News. And here's the headline, at least the headline that I'm working with. You can check the website. It'll be published by the time you hear this. 5G remote kill vector. Science paper reveals cell phone signals can activate the release of biological payloads from graphene oxide molecules that are introduced into the body. This is the feature story for today, and I'm going to go through this with you. It is extraordinary. I was sent two science papers by a contact source of mine that had this information. I followed up, I read the papers, and my mind is just blown. Basically, it means that cell phone signals from 5G towers can remotely activate the release of chemical or biological payloads that are held by graphene oxide molecules inside the body. And that this can be done, of course, you know, remotely without anybody's knowledge. And there are all kinds of different payloads that can be carried by graphene oxide. So if you've been wondering, is it theoretically possible for 5G cell towers to broadcast some kind of a signal that can activate a massive kill switch among people who have already been inoculated with graphene oxide? The answer is that yes, it is plausible. And I'm going to go through it here in this broadcast with the actual scientific studies, the published papers, the evidence, and you can check out more details with the links and everything at naturalnews.com. It's an extraordinary story, and it's all true. But before we get to those stories, I've got to cover some of the breaking news. I'll try to keep this short. Remember that New Mexico Governor Grisham, she had issued a nullification of the Second Amendment a few days ago, saying that your right to carry a firearm, even if you have a concealed carry permit, was suspended because she wants it suspended. And, well, guess what? A temporary restraining order has been issued now against her concealed carry ban. The GOA and Gun Foundation filed a lawsuit. They did that over the weekend, which was quite amazing. And sure enough, they achieved a temporary restraining order, or a TRO, against that ban very quickly. And a statement from Eric Pratt of Gun Owners of America said that the governor's claim that there are, quote, exceptions to the Second Amendment is not only wrong, but it also blows open a huge hole in the Bill of Rights. GOA will not rest until the rights of New Mexicans are restored. So there's been a lot of pushback, which is exactly what we needed. And Breitbart News has been covering this, and they've got all details and also a photo of Governor, what's her name, Michelle Lujan Grisham. Got a photo of her on the story. And I'm looking at that photo, and I'm thinking, I've got wild hogs on my ranch that are more kissable than that face. It's just incredible. But then again, tyranny is ugly. Grisham proves it. Tyranny is coyote ugly, as we say. Okay, moving on. Now, there was a major attack that was carried out by, well, you could say Ukraine, but really it was Western NATO cruise missiles. Major attack against a shipyard in Crimea, where Russia had a submarine, a Kilo-class submarine, and some other kind of, I don't know, landing ship. Both of these naval vessels of the Russian Navy were apparently, reportedly destroyed, or if not seriously damaged. And this was, from Ukraine's point of view, a highly successful attack that reportedly involved 10 cruise missiles. And RT is covering this as well. And RT, which of course is Russia Today, funded by the Kremlin, says that Storm Shadow cruise missiles were fired at Sevastopol. That's the shipyard. And so the UK has, you know, handed over many millions of dollars of cruise missiles to Ukraine specifically for this attack. And a source told Sky News that it was the Storm Shadow missiles. And the UK had confirmed in May that it provided Ukraine with some unspecified number of these cruise missiles, which have a range of up to 300 kilometers. So these were, in fact, you know, longer range attacks, not drones, but far more powerful cruise missiles. And it appears that they have succeeded in destroying a Russian Kilo-class submarine, which I believe the cost of that submarine is somewhere around $500 million. I mean, something in that range, half a billion. So it's not inconsequential. That is a significant loss of a naval asset for Russia, especially in the Black Sea. Now, I'm sure Ukraine and the West are cheering this attack. However, it doesn't change anything on the battlefield in southern Ukraine. You know, I mean, the submarine wasn't, it was actually in for repairs anyway. The submarine wasn't even actively deployed. And the submarine, of course, can't operate on land. So this isn't going to affect the battle lines and the so-called counteroffensive, which is failing against Russia. But it is a very expensive loss of naval assets for Russia. But a couple thoughts come to mind on this. Number one, according to Russia, there were 10 cruise missiles fired. 7 were shot down, according to Russian claims, which may be completely false, who knows, and 3 got through. And these 3, there were 3 distinct explosions that were widely reported, by the way, so it does seem like 3 missiles got through, and these 3 missiles did extensive damage. But the two thoughts that are important here is, number one, by providing these missiles, cruise missiles, the United Kingdom has just placed itself probably at the top of the list for Russian retaliation, whatever form that takes. Clearly, Russia is going to retaliate in some form on a day of Russia's choosing, and maybe that's going to involve, you know, hypersonic missiles, the Kinzhal missiles, the Daggers. Maybe it's going to involve thermobaric warheads. We don't know. But the related thought on this is that it appears this is an attempt to escalate, to kind of draw Russia into the war, to kind of bait Russia into attacking Western targets, specifically the American and NATO naval vessels that are running an exercise in the Black Sea right this very minute. The timing of this is not a coincidence in my view. The USA and NATO, they put all these vessels in the Black Sea, and they're basically saying, they're daring Putin, you know, we dare you to attack us. We're going to sail right next to, you know, your back door here, or front door, whatever you think it is. And, you know, we dare you to attack us. And then the UK provides the cruise missiles, up to 10, that attack, you know, a submarine asset at a dry dock. It seems to me that NATO wants Putin to retaliate against this attack by attacking the naval vessels that are on the Sea Breeze exercise right now in the Black Sea. I think those vessels are there as bait. And even worse, I think there's now a very high probability of a false flag attack where NATO or the USA would attack themselves and blame Russia. And they might attack themselves with a nuclear warhead or a thermobaric warhead or a biological weapon or something like that. Again, to blame Russia and to say that, well, Russia did that as a retaliation against the Sevastopol attack. And this is why we, the West, you know, the USA and NATO, this is why we have to now declare World War III, and we have to go to war directly with Russia. So, by the way, you may recall that there was an outage of Starlink, which is the Elon Musk, you know, SpaceX orbital bandwidth platform. There was an outage that lasted, I don't know, about an hour and a half on, what was it? Was it 2 days ago or three days ago? This attack on Starlink came after Elon Musk refused to allow Ukraine to use Starlink systems as part of a planned sneak attack on Russia. And Elon Musk is out there saying, and I'm paraphrasing this, but saying that he didn't want Starlink to be used as part of a weapon of war. It's not a military installation. You know, it's that it actually violates the terms of service to use Starlink for, you know, kinetic attacks on other targets. And isn't the military supposed to have its own satellite network and comms system and encrypted everything? Yeah, I mean, what happened to the U.S. military's satellite network? Why are they leaning on Elon Musk all of a sudden? Has the U.S. military lost its satellites? It's insane. But since Elon Musk didn't want Starlink to be used by Ukraine for the sneak attack on Russia, well, then the deep state attacked Starlink and took it down for an hour and a half worldwide. So there was a global outage of Starlink. And if you use it, you may have noticed that, by the way, that was resolved, resolved an hour and a half later. So again, it appears that Elon Musk is being targeted and his infrastructure is being targeted by the Western globalists as punishment for him not allowing Starlink to be used in a military context, which is not what the satellite network was designed to do. Now, in other breaking news, I've got to play this video for you. It is extraordinary. It's only 6 seconds from New York Governor Kathy Hochul. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Saying that if you've had a vaccine in the past, it will not help you this time around. Because now she's pushing a whole new vaccine for a whole new strain. And all you people who got vaccinated before, you know, tough luck. That's not going to work. Listen to Governor Hochul explaining this herself.
Tell everybody, don't rely on the fact that you had a vaccine in the past. It will not help you this time around.
Well, there you go. Governor Hochul admitting that if you got the vaccine in the past, you're kind of an idiot because it's not going to help you. That's what she says. It's not going to help you now. You need to get a whole new vaccine. And she goes on to explain, quote, it is literally a new vaccine. It is not a booster shot. It is not an enhancer. It is a new vaccine designed to attack the new variants, she said. This is an incredible admission because, of course, on Monday, the FDA approved, quote, approved the emergency use authorization of this new vaccine. Now, the EUA is only supposed to be applied when there's an emergency, and there is no emergency. As you know, Biden ended the national emergency of COVID in May. So there is no active emergency. The FDA basically just bends the rules or ignores them completely and says, well, gosh, we don't need any testing. We don't need any clinical trials. We don't need any safety data. No, we'll just declare another emergency. It's an emergency. And then they announce this new vaccine. And then, again, Governor Hochul saying it is literally a new vaccine, not a booster shot. This means it is a new therapeutic, which would obviously require all new clinical trials, safety testing, efficacy testing, ingredient analysis, you know, biodistribution studies. And then years later, the FDA could evaluate all that and then maybe approve it. If it's a whole new vaccine designed to attack new variants, it's a new therapeutic. Governor Hochul just admits it, but the FDA says, we don't need any data. We don't need it. We just declare another emergency when there is no emergency, and we'll just tell everybody to take the new vaccine. That's a whole new vaccine, and the old one won't protect you, but you need this one. Trust us on this one. But then the variant, the variant that it's supposed to go after is reportedly not even the variant that's in the wild right now. I mean, you truly have to be an idiot to take these vaccines with no testing, no clinical trials, no long-term observational studies. And again, a whole new vaccine that's never been tested. What, they just come up with a whole new vaccine and then they just say, oh, it must be good. Everybody take it. These are the same people telling you that the vaccine they've been pushing for the last, what, 2.5 years or whatever that is, that now they're saying, well, that doesn't work. Well, what about all the times you said it did work? What about all your lies and propaganda when you said that vaccine would stop infections and stop transmission and save lives, and it was proven and it was scientific and it was awesome and everybody should take it? And then fast forward to today and it's like, if you took it, it's not going to help you. Yeah, tough luck, stupid fools. All you idiots who took it, you just got conned. That's what Governor Hochul is saying, you got conned. And you know where this is going a year from now, maybe 2 years from now. The same Governor Hochul will get in front of the microphone and say, hello, New Yorkers. All of you New Yorkers, remember that vaccine that we announced in 2023? Remember that one? That one's not going to help you or save you. No, that doesn't do jack. We got a whole new vaccine, another one. And we got the new vaccine 2024 that everybody should take, this one. Oh, you took the old one? Well, you're going to need the new one. And this is going to go on year after year after year for as long as these people can survive this onslaught of biological weapons and depopulation, spike protein injections and transhumanism injections. It's almost transgenderism. These people are insane. I thought it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. I thought it was one shot and this is done. And now it's a whole new vaccine every year or two. See? And you're supposed to get it with your annual flu shot too, which also doesn't work. Here's part of her advice, Kathy Hochul. She says, quote, "We've done this since March 2020. No reason to stop now," she says. There is a reason. You're insane. People are dying. That's a pretty good reason to stop doing this. You know, the truth has come out. That is the reason to stop doing this. "We've done this since March 2020. No reason to stop now." Every reason to stop now. Especially, I mean, the biggest reason is that you lied to us the whole time, obviously, because now you're saying the vaccines you've been pushing don't even work. So you realize this is the never-ending vaccine scam, the never-ending money tree for Big Pharma. They can always say this every year. Oh, there's a new variant. You know, they did this with the flu shots for decades. There's a new variant. Now, the old vaccine doesn't work. You're going to need a new one. And you're like, has this one been tested? Well, no. We stopped doing that a long time ago. We don't test. We just say there's an emergency and we say it's all good and tell you to take it. But there's a new one. You got to get the new one. Forget about the old one. Every year. And anybody dumb enough to keep taking this, you know, frankly, is just committing a self-inflicted vaccine-assisted suicide at this point. But Kathy Hochul isn't the craziest video we're going to show you here today. Going back to Ukraine, we've got this. Do you remember that a Ukraine spokesperson is actually a U.S. military tranny who is this like freaky monster looking creature that had previously, we'd played the video, I don't know, a few weeks back, where he or she or it, whatever this demon creature is, had said that Putin is drinking the blood of children or something. It was crazy. Well, this creature has come out with a whole new video. And I gotta play about 40 seconds of this for you, because this demon creature, speaking on behalf of Ukraine, claims that Ukraine is going to hunt down Russian propagandists around the world. And this looks like a clip from like some kind of dystopian sci-fi movie, or like V for Victory or something. It's crazy that this person is an official spokesperson for the government of Ukraine, and it's a tranny American who, I mean, you can just imagine like a demon coming out of this creature's throat or something. I mean, it's no, seriously, watch this video for yourself. Check this out.
Russia hates the truth that their obsessive focus on a Ukrainian volunteer is simply allowing the light of the Ukrainian nation's honesty to shine brightly. Next week, the teeth of the Russian devils will gnash ever harder, and their rabid mouths will foam in uncontrollable frenzy as the world will see a favorite Kremlin propagandist pay for their crimes. And this puppet of Putin is only the first. Russia's war criminal propagandists will all be hunted down, and justice will be served as we in Ukraine are led on this mission by faith in God, liberty, and complete liberation.
What'd you think of that, folks? I mean, this is, it's almost a Saturday Night Live comedy skit. It's so crazy. I mean, seriously, you look at this, you almost don't know, like, are they for real? Is this an actual spokesperson for the government of Ukraine? And the answer is yes. Yes, this is a real spokesperson. And I mean, again, a tranny, demon creature, monster, making all kinds of weird threats and claiming they're going to hunt down Russian propagandists around the world. And by the way, what's the definition of a Russian propagandist today? Anybody who wants peace. Like, just anybody who says that we should end the war and negotiate peace and stop the bloodshed. Like, that's called, if you're that person, you're called a Russian propagandist. I mean, it's so bizarre that, and if you have an honest assessment of what's happening with Ukraine, like, hey, this counteroffensive is going nowhere for 3 months now, apparently, and it's been, you know, a disaster, frankly, for Ukraine. They were supposed to make it to the Sea of Azov by now, and they haven't even broken through, you know, the complete first line of Russian defenses. But if you point that out, then you're called a Russian propagandist. And I guess this tranny demon creature is going to hunt you down and make you bleed or whatever. And then this creature claims to worship God. You mean Satan? I think the creature forgot how to say God. This is bizarre. But by the way, this demon creature is referring to Gonzalo Lira as a, quote, Russian propagandist. And Gonzalo, of course, was arrested a second time trying to flee Ukraine. And he probably made some very critical strategic errors in choosing how to flee Ukraine. But nevertheless, Gonzalo is in custody of the Ukrainian government, and they are probably going to make an example of him. They've accused him of speech crimes. They said he's spoken out against the Ukrainian government. He insulted Ukrainian defenders. That's literally from the first round of charges against him. And the U.S. State Department has been relatively silent on this, even though Gonzalo Lira is a United States citizen who was living in Ukraine. Now, I've interviewed Gonzalo, I think, maybe twice. And Gonzalo, whether you agreed or disagreed with his assessment, he offered some rather spectacular insights on a number of topics. And I didn't agree with Gonzalo on everything, by the way, but I did find his speech to be intriguing on many, many topics, even topics of history and topics of the economy and the banking system, you know, money and fiat currencies and things like that. It had nothing to do with the Ukrainian war. He had a lot of insight on a lot of subjects. Well, you know, they're going to try to basically murder him in the prison system in Ukraine. And we need to call for the U.S. State Department to, you know, negotiate a release of Gonzalo. Just, I mean, speech crimes? Seriously? Regardless of what you think of his speech itself, does he deserve to go die in prison because of things he said that disagreed with the regime in power? Well, in the United States, of course, Owen Schroyer is facing 60 days in jail for speech crimes. For basically, he's accused of inspiring the J6 insurrection by saying, you know, mean things about the rigged 2020 election. So throwing him in jail for 60 days, speech crimes. Well, 60 days is a lot less than what Gonzalo is facing, which is many years in prison in Ukraine, and no doubt will be subject to a tremendous amount of abuse and probably torture. And so there's a human rights question here as well. But when you see any country, the U.S., Ukraine, or otherwise, rolling out a spokesperson thing who is a transgender demon creature who clearly looks, in my view, totally possessed by a demonic entity and is speaking in a threatening, almost, you know, comic villain threatening voice, then you know that those are not the good guys. That's not what the good guys do. This is a representative of really an evil Western regime that is rooted in deception and fraud and demonism and murder and sacrifice and, you know, child sacrifice and just propaganda lies, all of it. That's what the West stands for. And it's obvious. It's obvious. It's amazing that they themselves can't see it because they're so twisted and clouded in their views of the world. They can't even see that their evil is abundantly evident to anybody watching. It's like, oh, that's abhorrent. My God. I mean, these are some sick, twisted demons. I can only imagine where this goes next. I mean, did you ever think we would be here? You fast forward 6 months and it's going to be something like some actual like alien demon creature there, spokesperson for NATO. And it's going to sound something like,
if you support Putin, we're going to pluck your eyeballs out of your skull. And then we will rape your empty eye sockets until you die. Because we believe in God.
Like, that's what it's going to be. And the New York Times will say, that's a wonderful speech. You know, Washington Post, these are the good guys. Yeah. It's just, we're almost there. We're really close to that right now. It's so obvious, but my God, man, these are end times. These are end times. This is biblical stuff that we're watching unfold here. Speaking of end times, let's talk about the Democrat porn star running for office. Because why not? Because this has come up. It's like, I saw this story. For real? For real? So, in Virginia, there's a candidate for the House of Delegates. And her name is Susanna Gibson. And I'm going to read from Breitbart.com in case you're not familiar with what this woman has done. She has, quote, repeatedly performed hardcore sex for money online in a series of live streams. And this is an article by John Nolte. He writes, in a series of live streams, Gibson and her husband had sex hoping to raise money for a good cause, which might have been her campaign. Knowing that everything online is permanent, again and again, Gibson not only had sex but offered to perform degrading sex acts for cash and bragged about having sex with three men in one day, only one of them being her husband. She's 40 years old. She's a professional nurse practitioner. She did this after making the decision to become a public political figure, and she's the mother of two children. And now it's being reported by the left-wing media that since this has come out that, you know, they're accusing Republicans of like leaking her porn videos online. Note to the media, if you post your own porn videos online to make money, that's not a leak. That's insane. That's your decision. That's not a leak, folks. She posted these videos herself and she's 40. So I don't know what you want to make of this. Is this what the Democrat Party is going to be now? It's going to be like, I mean, please, dear God, don't let Nancy Pelosi raise money this way. I'm not sure that the entire global porn community can psychically handle that image. But is this what, I mean, Democrats are now, are they seriously doing campaign fundraising by having sex with multiple partners online and just posting those videos of like, vote for me and give me some money and tell me what article of clothing you want me to remove. Like, is that the new Democrat thing? I don't know. The libertarian side of me is like, well, at least she's not stealing money from people. They're giving it to her voluntarily, you know. It's not as bad as other Democrats that just take your money and just steal it from you, looting all the time. I mean, at least this woman is exchanging something for people's money, if that's what they're into. But on the other hand, you know, the lack of morality is striking. And it's like, really, you want this person to be your representative? A mother of two children who posts videos online of having sex with multiple men as part of a fundraiser? I mean, what does that teach the children? You know, you have like a high school fundraiser. Well, what are those young girls going to do if they're looking at mom? Oh, well, she just went online and did sex videos for money. Let's do that. You know, I mean, it's a bad example, obviously. And it concerns me. And also, you know, we're going to move on, but just wrapping up that story, I have to admit, I honestly did not know there was a market for 40-year-old mom porn. That's a whole new thing, I guess. Did you know that? I had no idea. But then again, I'm not trying to get into people's heads and figure out what they're into, thank God, because we are living in a twisted society, that's for sure. Here's another example that from Harbinger's Daily. Forbidding biblical truth, a California school district prohibits Christian club from being formed in an elementary school. This school district in California has been accused of wrongfully prohibiting a Christian student club from meeting. According to Liberty Counsel, which is the law firm that has filed suit here, Hayward Unified School District rejected three separate requests from the Child Evangelism Fellowship to let one of its Good News Club chapters meet at Fairview Elementary School. So the Good News Club had been meeting at the school until COVID lockdowns began in 2020, but then later on, after other clubs were allowed to return to the schools, the CEF asked three times for the Good News Club to be allowed, but the school district refused to respond. But of course, you know, if you had like a transgender or like a child grooming pedophile group, no doubt you'd be approved immediately. Oh, come on in. Oh, drag queen story time for little kids. Yeah. Come on in. We'll have a whipping or whatever they do. 40-year-old mom porn. Yeah. Fundraising for the school. Okay. But a Christian group, not allowed, not allowed. No Christian groups, you know, cause that would be intolerant apparently today. So if you wonder why our nation is going to hell, now you know. Because God and Jesus are not allowed anywhere near the children, but pedophiles and groomers are. Uh-huh. All the time. Because, I mean, who do you think runs the school districts in California? It's pedophiles, groomers, and child traffickers, child rapists. I mean, come on. You know who these people are. And they're child mutilators, too, on top of that. Yeah, twisted, sick demons. You know, and I have to admit, there's a part of me that just feels icky having to cover this news. In fact, I'm a little bit peeved about it. It's not something that I look forward to, waking up, checking the breaking news, and finding more and more examples of the evil demons taking over our society and exploiting children and just the total insanity, the complete abandonment of logic and reason, the exploitation of children. It's sickening, and there's a part of you that can never forget what we are going through right now, right? What we are witnessing and reporting and seeing happen. It's kind of like, and I might take some criticism for equating this, and I don't mean to say it's exactly the same, but you know how soldiers suffer a kind of PTSD or shell shock, as it used to be called, seeing, you know, their friends killed or maimed or blown up or bleeding out on the battlefield. And that's, you know, it's an understandable shock to be subjected to that kind of psychological, you know, the trauma of that experience. I can understand how that could wreck anybody who had compassion for another human being. And I'm not saying that what you and I are going through is the same, because we can't compare ourselves to the war atrocities that far too many people have had to endure. But in a much smaller way, there's still kind of a news shell shock or a culture shock that we're all exposed to in seeing the radical left and its exploitation of children in particular, that is very, very disturbing. And it is, even as much as I try to joke around sometimes about the drag queens and everything and the whippings and the dominatrix stuff, I try to, you know, sometimes I try to joke about it, but it disturbs me that this is the world in which we live, which has been occupied and infested by demonic entities, you know, one of which is a spokesperson for NATO and Ukraine, as we just saw. This is a very disturbing, dark world. And I do not enjoy having to cover these kinds of headlines. And you say, well, why do you, Mike? Why don't you just give us good news? All right, sure. Yeah, you want to sit in a room and talk about beautiful flowers and honeybees and whatever and pretend everything's great in the world? Okay, well, you don't need me to do that. If anybody out there wants to be delusionally disconnected from reality and just pretend everything's good, well, that's not a very successful strategy. And we have to face the reality of what's happening at some level. And this is real. You'll notice that the headlines I bring you each day, I mean, I don't fabricate these stories. These are things that are actually happening. Because I believe we're living in end times. I really do. And these are biblical scale events. And pure evil is rising across our world. Pure evil. Demonic, destructive, anti-human evil. And that's what most of the transgender movement now reflects, is just pure, unadulterated evil and the exploitation of children. And the radical left and the fascists, the Marxists, you know, the lies, the propaganda, the censorship, the gaslighting, the bioweapons, the depopulation agendas, extermination, Governor Hochul, like, yeah, it's a whole new vaccine. Take this one now. I mean, this is pure evil. And it disturbs me to have to cover it every day. And honestly, I'm not sure that I'm going to keep doing this format. I don't know. I've set up a music studio again, and I'm going through the process now of relearning the modern instruments, which are very different from what I used to compose on years ago when I did so many songs. And I've got some concepts for some new music, and I would really much rather not cover the news and just write music for a while, frankly. And I don't know, that I might just do that. If you log in one day and they're like, where's the Brighttown broadcast news? And there'll just be a notice there. I'm taking 3 months off, you know, I'm just doing music. Don't be surprised. I might do that. And the other thing I'm considering doing, I might actually do this first, is, believe it or not, monologue poetry set to music. I know what you're thinking, like, did you say poetry? What? Everybody hates poetry. Well, you've never heard poetry the way I intend to perform it, so give it a listen. I may do that first, because it's actually easier and faster to get that out, and there's some things I want to say that actually need a format like that in order to have the impact that I want to achieve. So, yeah, I might just do musical monologue poetry for a while. We'll see. All right, I want to read for you now, changing the topic here, from climatedepot.com. By Mark Moreno, EV House of Cards collapses. The inevitable EV implosion. The most ill-conceived government policy objective in modern history. Oh, actually, this story is by Ron Ross, PhD. There we go. Ron Ross, PhD from Climate Change Dispatch. It's just reprinted on Climate Depot. But I want to read this for you because it's really brilliant. Brilliantly written. The electric vehicle honeymoon is over. Don't expect the marriage itself to last much longer either. The mass conversion from internal combustion engine vehicles to electric vehicles was never more than a Democrat environmentalist hallucination anyway. It was the most ill-conceived government policy objective in modern history. The transition should have been a non-starter. It's riddled with numerous deal killers. It's like having a dozen fatal diseases all at the same time. Any goal as massive as a total conversion from internal combustion engine vehicles to EVs requires careful planning and infrastructure preparation. It would necessitate a rapid doubling of electricity generation and grid expansion. In today's world, that's impossible. EV promoters could never deliver on their promises. Their grandiose assurances were nothing more than wishful thinking. There was no market research. I wonder why. There were no feasibility studies. I wonder why. Did they truly believe everyone would tolerate spending hours to charge their vehicles rather than the minutes they were accustomed to? Car dealers are resisting further deliveries of EVs because of swelling inventories. Avis and Hertz can't even get people to rent EVs. Yet, manufacturers are ramping up production just as consumers are balking. Something will have to give, and soon. EV makers and their shareholders will tire of pouring money down a rat hole. my comment, don't count on it. virtue signalers love to pour money down rat holes. Okay, anyway, continuing. We are spending trillions of dollars on a fabricated dream, all for imaginary payoffs decades in the future. When the EV House of Cards collapses, what will the reaction be? Ordinarily, for normal persons, it should be a time for regret, rethinking, and humility. It would be good if the Democrat environmentalist true believers learned something from the EV debacle. However, the same utopian blindness that caused this fiasco will prevent any lesson learning on their part. We are more likely to see them doubling down instead. And that's exactly right. That's the end of the article. It's so true. It's like, didn't anybody ever think that, you know, it sucks to wait 3 hours to charge a car? Didn't anybody ever consider that? Don't people value their time at all? I mean, I hate even just filling up with gas or diesel. That takes too long in my view. I'd rather not even have to do that. But I'm not going to spend hours waiting on the side of the highway in some EV charging station somewhere that's probably powered by a diesel generator in the back anyway. Are you kidding me? That's insane. It's like, people, what is wrong with people? These people drive around in their delusional world telling everybody, it's zero emissions, there's no emissions, nothing is emitted, it's zero, 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 zero emissions, and then they charge it for hours using coal for the power, and coal has emissions. So, how is it zero emissions again? Well, it's zero emissions here. But it's not zero emissions where the power is generated, is it? And then what about all the mining of all the lithium that goes into the batteries? What about all the manufacturing and all the rare earth minerals and the materials that go into the car? And the fact that your EV cars weigh twice as much as a regular car. And so they're tearing up all the roads and bridges and they're causing parking garages to collapse because it's too heavy. They're tearing up the roads everywhere. Potholes get worse far more quickly when EVs keep slamming into them because they're so dang heavy. And you do realize that the heavier your vehicle, the more energy it takes to accelerate it, right? So it's not really saving energy. It's more economical to just use a combustion engine. You're not saving energy. You're using far more energy to accelerate your vehicle because it's so freaking heavy. Don't forget the formula, folks. 1/2 mass times velocity squared. That is the kinetic energy. So you do know, by the way, that at some point the government's going to have to bail out all these car manufacturers for all the losses that are experienced from all the EV sales or non-sales, the EV inventory. That's just going to lose a bunch of money. There's going to be at some point an EV fire sale. Like, please take these off our lot, you know. Even then, you couldn't give me one. I wouldn't take one for free. I still prefer a diesel truck over an EV. Because a diesel truck, man, if I need to drive 1,000 miles, I can throw some extra diesel in the back. I'm not going to be stranded on the side of the highway waiting for some plug-in somewhere. What if the power grid goes down? Are you kidding me? You know, if the power grid goes down, you have no charging, obviously. I'm not sure that EV owners have thought about this. It's like, I mean, and they're warning you that the power grid's not reliable. It's going to go down. It's like New York Times articles warning about how unreliable the power grid is. And then you got Joe Biden shutting down the energy infrastructure. Of course, we're going to have regional blackouts. How are you going to charge then, huh? Hence the power of diesel. You just use diesel or gasoline. You're good. You're good for another 500 miles if you have enough. All right, I better get to the main story here. I'm just going to go on for too long. Completely lose my train of thought. But by the way, you know, just to plug one of our sponsors, if you want to be prepared for the grid to go down, make sure you have backup satellite communications. No joke. I mean, I'm about to talk about a story here of cell phones and 5G and everything, but on the other end of that spectrum is, what if the systems are all down? You're going to need backup communications. So the Satellite Phone Store provides that. SAT123.com. When everything else has just crumbled, you can still make a phone call to your loved ones, or you can send a text. You can even call for help if you need to. You can send a text on the bivy sticks that are also offered by the Satellite Phone Store. SAT123.com. And you can find out about what they have available that can keep you in touch with the people you love in times of collapse. Because things are, again, I believe we're living in end times. Things are going to get super dicey. So let's jump into the main story here. And I did kind of put this off. I apologize. Here it is. Let me read you the headline again. The 5G remote kill vector. Science paper reveals that cell phone signals can activate the release of biological payloads from graphene oxide molecules introduced into the body. I may rephrase that headline a little bit. Essentially, here's the story. A new science paper that's published in Materials Today Chemistry, it reveals that cell phone signals can be used to cause graphene oxide to deploy a molecular payload inside the body. In other words, it's called a remotely controlled electro-responsive on-demand nanotherapy, if you want to know how that's described in the paper. Now, this paper talks about drug delivery. They were testing this technology with aspirin and a cancer drug. And so the idea in medicine is that they could give a patient, you know, graphene oxide with cancer drugs in it, and then they could, you know, somehow get the graphene oxide to go to the cancer tumors. I don't know, maybe they combine it with, you know, sucrose or something, because tumors love sugar. And then once they're at the cancer tumors, then they, you know, they dial up the phone, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 and zap it, you know, hit, do the command. And this causes a voltage event to saturate the human body. And the voltage causes, you know, even very minor voltage causes the graphene oxide to release the payload, and then boom, all the cancer drugs are delivered to the cancer tumor, and now we have like targeted chemo, right? That's what the biomedical industry wants to use this for. But you and I know that the medical institutions, at least in the West, are actually murder systems. They are using all their technology to try to exterminate humankind. That's why they banned ivermectin and murdered people in the hospitals. We've been through all that. I mean, the vaccines are biological weapons designed to achieve depopulation. You know that. So what if the vaccines contain graphene oxide? And many researchers claim that they do. You've probably seen many experts out there and people talking about maybe some laboratory microscopy or other kinds of tests or, you know, scanning electron microscopes. And they're talking about graphene oxide in the vaccines. What if this graphene oxide is carrying a payload that has not yet been activated, but that can be activated from 5G towers broadcasting a signal? So in this article that where I'm covering this on naturalnews.com, I talk about 5G signals, and I quote an article by Dr. Joseph Mercola that was published in Children's Health Defense. It shows that 5G cell signal radiation absolutely causes biological and chemical changes inside the human body because it subjects the human body to voltage. In other words, microcurrent underneath the skin, inside the tissues, inside the blood. And Dr. Mercola writes the following: persistent exposures to microwave frequencies like those from cell phones can cause mitochondrial dysfunction and nuclear DNA damage from free radicals produced from peroxynitrite. So peroxynitrites are molecules that are extremely dangerous free radicals that cause this chromosomal damage. And it's why cell phones and Wi-Fi networks have been linked to heart problems, anxiety, depression, autism, Alzheimer's, infertility, and many other things. Now, we know that radio frequency microwave radiation causes these voltage changes inside the body's cells because of the work of a PhD in biochemistry, Dr. Martin Pall, P-A-L-L. He's at Washington State University, and his research reveals that microwave radiation from mobile devices causes voltage changes inside the body's cells, which activate what are called voltage-gated calcium channels, or VGCCs. Now, let me back up and explain this. So your cell membranes determine the permeability or the selective permeability of what goes into your cells and what is expelled out of your cells. If the cell membranes don't do their job correctly, you die, because cells can very quickly be overloaded with toxins, or they could fail to expel waste, for example. So there are specific channels. There are like potassium channels, and as you probably know from COVID, zinc channels and zinc ionophores that potentiate the zinc transmission across cell membranes. But there are also things called calcium channels. You probably heard of like calcium channel blockers from mainstream medicine. But voltage-gated calcium channels are calcium channels that are highly susceptible to changes in ambient voltage. In other words, microcurrent within the cells alters the permeability selectively of calcium ions. Calcium is extremely toxic if it comes into your cells in much higher saturations than what is normal. So this is a case where, I mean, yeah, calcium is a macro mineral that is essential for human health, just as magnesium is. And calcium has all sorts of important functions, you know, for heart health and bone health and even neurological function and so on. But calcium is also toxic if the concentration becomes too high inside the cell. Well, when you're subjected to 5G cell phone radiation, the voltage changes alter the voltage-gated calcium channels, the VGCCs, in your body, and it causes then the enhanced permeability selectively of calcium ions, they move into your cells and then they poison your cells. And this is caused by, you know, electromagnetic fields. And this is what is believed to cause the detrimental EMF effects. And as Dr. Martin Paul explains, 23 studies have shown that voltage-gated calcium channels produce these effects and other EMF effects. Furthermore, the voltage-gated properties of these channels may provide biophysically plausible mechanisms for EMF biological effects. In other words, you know, 5G cell phone radiation can absolutely mess with your calcium channels, and it can poison your cells. Now, I mentioned this yesterday, there is a substance known as superoxide dismutase enzyme, also known as SOD, which is found in melon fruit, by the way, in very low concentrations, crazy low. You can buy this SOD in a bulk powder. It's crazy expensive. It's thousands of dollars a kilo. I mentioned this yesterday. It's like more expensive than cocaine per gram. But SOD is extremely powerful at counteracting the peroxynitrite free radicals that can damage your body. And so SOD is found in certain nutritional supplements, including our own supplement that we call 5G Defense, which is just, it's a new supplement that we have available, I think just in the last week at healthrangerstore.com. It's a powder and you can blend it into any smoothie you want. It goes great in like fruit mixes and other kinds of smoothies. It doesn't have a crazy taste at all. Again, it's extracted from melons. And we put in some minerals in there like selenium and things that actually help synergistically. But even this substance, SOD, it doesn't block radiation. So it doesn't block the voltage event that's happening in your body. You know, the SOD, the superoxide dismutase, simply blocks the peroxynitrites or counteracts them in a natural way. You know, it helps your body naturally deal with stresses from the free radical production, which takes place in your body upon exposure to cell phone radiation, according to the research of Dr. Paul and others. You know, 23 studies, he said. Oh, and by the way, French regulators have issued a warning to Apple, demanding that Apple stop selling the iPhone 12 because the iPhone 12 emits excessive radiation, according to the government of France. And this was reported by Reuters. So Apple's phone, again, the iPhone 12 exceeds the allowable legal limit of radiation. And yet this phone has been sold since 2020. So if you've had an iPhone 12, you have been living with illegal levels of radiation, according to the French government. And the French government is about to issue, to demand a total recall of all iPhone 12 phones in the nation of France if Apple doesn't somehow solve this problem. I'm not sure how they're going to solve this problem since it's a hardware problem. I mean, I don't think you could just like flash an update to it and suddenly the radiation is less, you know? It's not good. But here's the point in all of this. Let me connect the dots for you. So we know that graphene oxide can carry payloads of drugs, or even it could be chemical weapons such as nerve agents. We know that graphene oxide, according to many people, can be introduced into vaccines. It doesn't mean it's in every vaccine or every shot, but it can be present in vaccines. A typical vaccine injection is 500 microliters of volume, well, or half a milliliter, same thing as 500 microliters. So in that 500 microliters, you can fit a lot of mass of a toxic nerve agent, more than enough to kill a person if it were released in the blood. Well, what if it's held as a payload inside graphene oxide and it's circulating in people's bodies? Well, then according to this research that we've written up in this story that's on naturalnews.com, if you want to check it out, according to the research, a remote cellular signal can cause graphene oxide to deploy the payload, which would release, theoretically, if it were, you know, a nerve agent or something, or a chemical weapon, it would release the chemical weapon inside the body of every person who had this weaponized graphene oxide in their body. And in essence, this is a very plausible scenario. If this were activated, it could be a kill switch where the 5G towers broadcast a signal that causes millions of people, especially in the cities where the 5G towers have their reach, and that's where their saturation is, millions of people to drop dead within seconds. I mean, how long does VX nerve gas take, you know, to function, or similar nerve agents? Just seconds, and then people die. So, in other words, we now understand the mechanism, and we have the links to the scientific papers, the published papers. We understand the mechanism by which graphene oxide can be used as a chemical weapons payload delivery system. It can be surreptitiously hidden in vaccines or COVID swabs, or even in pharmaceuticals, or potentially in food. And it can be ingested and taken into people's bodies, and there it may stay. I mean, this is all theoretical. I'm not saying that, you know, we don't have absolute proof that this is what's happening, but it's plausible. Now, it's not some wild-eyed, you know, far-fetched theory. This is the state of the art of current medical science. I've published a story on this with links to the scientific articles if you want to read it yourself. And in essence, what it means is it is plausible for this kind of a weapon system to have been implanted or inoculated into people's bodies awaiting activation via 5G towers. That is a plausible scenario. Now, there's something else that you also need to know about this. And I want to thank my sources for sending me the studies on this. Of course, I'm not going to give out their names because they need to protect their identities. But I was sent a second study that talks about how graphene oxide can transmit gigahertz signals to nearby receivers. So not only can graphene oxide deliver a payload upon receiving 5G cell signals, but at the same time, depending on its configuration, graphene oxide can also transmit gigahertz signals. And this is backed up by a study that was published in Applied Physics Letters, by the way, in 2010. And it's called Radio Frequency Characteristics of Graphene Oxide. And we link to that study. We show you the charts. We show how that can actually happen. Now then, there's one other thing. Another source of mine sent me a video. And this is the one that really freaked me out. Sent me a video of some pharmaceuticals that have black ink printed on the side of each capsule. And the black ink, if you look at it, you know, under a microscope, the black ink is printing like a lot number, you know, basically like tracking information about this specific capsule, you know, like a serial number. Well, you're not going to believe this. So this person dissolved the capsules of this pharmaceutical in a glass of water. And I don't know, should I? I don't have permission to share this video with you, so I'm not going to yet, but I'm going to check and see if I can share this video with you maybe tomorrow. But he dissolves the capsules in water. The black ink that's printed on the side of the capsules comes off of the capsules. So the black ink then somehow, for whatever reason, it separates from the capsules and it forms these really tiny black specks that are floating in the water. So it didn't disperse like like ink, the way you think ink would just disperse like a cloud and then it vanishes in the water. No, this quote ink came off the pharmaceutical tablets and it became black specks in the water. You know what? I'm going to share with you a photo, a still shot from this, because you have to see this. No, you know what? I'm gonna play the video for you. You gotta see it. You gotta see the video. I'm just gonna play like 20 seconds of it. Check this out. I'm gonna narrate it. All right, so here's what he does. He takes a magnet, and the black specks that came off the capsules are leaping to the magnet. See that? See what's happening there? So the magnet, I mean, these are magnetic black speck particles that used to be the ink on the side of the capsules. All right, so there you go. how shocking is that? And then I was wondering, you know, is graphene oxide magnetic? And because graphene oxide is only made of carbon. And typically, you know, in the field of science and atomic elements, you know, we don't think of carbon as being magnetic. But it turns out that you can make carbon magnetic. And there's a story actually out of livescience.com. And the headline is, "Rare magnetism found in the world's strongest material." And the subhead is, "Strange things happen when you stack and twist graphene." Turns out that if you take three layers of graphene and you layer them, you know, one upon another, but you alter the rotational angle of some of the layers, then it actually creates magnetic graphene oxide. It makes them magnetic. And so you could actually create little black specks of magnetic graphene oxide made out of just carbon, and it could still be absolutely magnetic. So I'm not saying that that's for sure what this is with these capsules. We don't know for sure what this stuff is, but we know it's magnetic, and we know that graphene oxide can be magnetic, and that's freaky. And look, it also begs the question, why is the ink on the side of these pharmaceuticals, why is the ink coming off in black specks that are magnetic? Why would ink be magnetic? Seriously. I mean, I've never even heard of why. I mean, unless you for some reason need a magnetic ink. I mean, why would you use ink on a pharmaceutical that people swallow that was magnetic? Are there elements in this? Is there iron in it? Or is it graphene oxide? Is it a payload? Weapon system? I don't know. But this raises some eyebrows. To see this, that is not normal. So we're going to take a closer look at this. Fortunately, as you know, I have a very high-end laboratory microscope. And we're going to get these little black flecks under that microscope pretty soon. And we're going to see what we can find. What is this stuff? And we also, of course, we have elemental analysis, you know, ICP-MS instruments in our lab. And so if we can get enough of this material, we're going to need, you know, some amount of it. We're going to need like 0.25 grams or something if we can get that much. If we can get a quarter gram of this, then we can do an ICP analysis and we can figure out the elemental composition. And we can determine whether it's all just straight carbon or if it has iron or other, you know, more common elements in it, aluminum, what have you. But have you ever heard of this before? Did you know the ink on the side of the pharmaceuticals is magnetic? Why? What is going on here, folks? So somebody make sure Todd Callender is aware of this article and this video. I'm sure it confirms a lot of the research that he has done and the things that he's talking about. And anybody else who you think might be interested in this, I mean, we've all heard for a long time that, you know, maybe 5G towers could be a weapon system. But I never saw the details of an actual plausible mechanism by which that could happen. You know, I mean, it's easy to say, oh, 5G towers are a weapon system, but how would it work? You know, that's the question I always have about lots of things. People tell me something like, oh, this thing does that. I'm like, well, how does it work? And, you know, if there's not a plausible explanation of how it works, then I'm not likely to believe it, you know? When somebody says 5G towers might be a kill switch, just kill everybody. You know, previously I was like, well, how would that work? And nobody really explained it. Now this explains it. We know exactly how that can work. It can cause the payload delivery of graphene oxide that's carrying deadly chemical weapons inside people's bodies, and the vaccines could have been used to introduce those. I'm not saying that we know for sure that that's what has happened, but I am saying it is plausible. The technology exists, it's been documented and published in peer-reviewed science journals. But, of course, the average oblivious person will have no idea of any of this. They're still listening to Kathy Hochul and taking the new vaccine because the old one won't help you anymore. Yeah, take the new one, you know. Man, it really is a global IQ test at this point. All right, so that's the bulk of the story. I summarize it. If you want the details and the links and everything, just go to naturalnews.com and it should be the top story there. At least it's the most recent story that I've authored. And I've got some diagrams and art from the scientific studies and everything that you need there. Check it out. It's a hard-hitting story. And by the way, this story isn't done because, of course, we have to look at this stuff under a microscope and figure out what this is, if we can. That should be interesting, so stay tuned. You know, there's more coming. And by the way, if you want to support our efforts and protect yourself from peroxynitrites using superoxide dismutase, then check out our 5G defense product at healthrangerstore.com. It's available right now, and it contains the SOD molecule from, you know, melon fruit. But I do want to be clear. That product, it doesn't block radiation. It's not like a bulletproof vest against cell phone radiation. It just helps nullify these crazy free radicals, the peroxynitrites. That's what it does. But that's beneficial in lots of ways, especially if you're living in a high electropollution environment. Or, I don't know, maybe you've been carrying around an iPhone 12 for a couple of years and you just found out that it's got super high illegal levels of radiation, according to the government of France. So not a nice thing to hear, is it? But hey, there we go. That's the truth. All right, so we're going to move on to the interview here with Jim Shepherd, the founder of Berkey, the Berkey Water Filter Company. And this is a bombshell interview about the weaponization of the EPA to target a water filter company to try to block the sale of its products because its products can remove COVID from the water supply. You would think that the EPA would love this, that they would recommend almost the Berkey water filters, you know, because they work so well. And we've tested them in our lab in multiple tests. You know, we've done glyphosate testing and we've done the cesium testing, you know, in case of radiation fallout scenarios and things like that. And we've done a lead testing, and the Big Berkey is just excellent in all these categories. It just works. It's legit. It's reliable. That has to be why it's being targeted by the EPA. And by the way, we may still have Big Berkeys available in our online store, healthrangerstore.com. I'm not sure. They may all be gone. I know at least one of them was sold out days ago, but there might be others that are still available. I'm not sure. Frankly, I don't know who has them at this point. But nevertheless, this is a fascinating interview that you need to hear. So I'll be with you again tomorrow with more breaking news on many different fronts. But enjoy this interview with Jim Shepherd from the Berkey Water Filter Company. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the publisher of naturalnews.com and also the founder of Brighteon.com. And as you may be aware,
the EPA appears to be waging some kind of war against a specific water filter company that most of you are probably familiar with, Berkey, and the Big Berkey products that are the gravity filters that have consistently produced a very, very solid test results, some of the best testing filters that we've ever tested in our laboratory, ICP-MS testing for removal of heavy metals and also removal of cesium isotopes as well, which has huge implications for, you know, the risk of nuclear war coming up. But we've got the founder of Berkey now on the phone with us, Jim Shepard, to tell us about what's going on with the EPA. Lots of red flags in this situation right now. Big Berkey water filters apparently sold out, not able to be sold at many places. We're going to get the details here from the founder, Jim Shepard. Welcome, Jim, to the show today. It's great to have you on, sir.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be on with you today.
Well, no, I mean, the honor's all ours. And frankly, I can't believe that you and I have never spoken until this day, given how much I love your product and we've tested it and talked about it for all these years. But this is the very first time you and I have ever had a chance to speak. It's incredible.
Yes, it is. And it's a real pleasure to speak with you. And Mike, I've been aware of you for years. And, you know, I'm unfortunately, I'm busy just like you. And, you know, your work gets away from you. And before you know it, years and decades passed. And but we're finally meeting each other on the phone. And it's a pleasure to meet you.
Well, you as well. You've done extraordinary things. I believe that your products save many lives all over the world. And they help people get prepared for natural disasters and unexpected events. And as I said, our laboratory tests, and we've tested, you know, dozens of filters, and I did a big thing here in this studio about the cesium removal, shows that your water filters can remove particles that contain cesium-137 radioisotopes. So you have an extraordinary line of products. And by the way, we have carried your products in our store. I should disclose that, although I think right now nothing is available because they're all sold out. But tell us, Jim, if you would please, what the EPA is doing to your company right now, and in apparently trying to stop sales of your product by, as I understand it, classifying your water filter as a pesticide, doesn't even make sense. Can you explain?
Yeah, that was kind of a shock to us. So let me give you a little bit of background. Last year, in May, we had the EPA stop one of our containers, and which had never happened before. And we used very large shipper, and they were puzzled too. They go, we say, well, so they pulled aside our container. What's the deal? And our shipper said, we have shipped, you know, for years and years and years. This is the first time we've ever had the EPA pull aside a container. We don't know either. Well, we talked with our consultants, and they got in touch with the EPA. And at that point, the EPA confirmed to us that we were an exempt device. Now, I don't want to confuse your audience, but there's two terms that I should make people familiar with. You have an exempt pesticidal device, and these are devices that remove bacteria or waterborne pathogens mechanically, which we do, as opposed to, oh, let's say drops that you put in the water and it kills the bacteria. If you put something in the water that kills the pathogens, then that is a pesticide.
Right.
However, if you mechanically extract it, which we do, because we have a tortuous maze of micropores, and the water flows through those, but they're smaller than the pathogens, and so we actually trap those pathogens, and which makes us an exempt device. And at that point, the EPA said that they had checked our websites and checked our packaging, and they assured us that we were an exempt device. So, and then they told us, you know, be sure and just make sure you're not making any false claims or anything like that. So we went through all of our testing and made sure that there was nothing, you know, on our websites or packaging, which we did not have. I mean, we only publish what third-party certified labs test our filters to perform.
Yes.
So anyway, we we went along, and then all of a sudden in December, one of our large dealers, and I'll mention their names, James Enterprises, they're a fantastic dealer, and they were issued a stop sale order. And that was the first time we heard pesticides. Now, I will tell you that back in May of last year, when we were talking with our consultant told us, I said, what's all this about? And he goes, look, I really don't know. I don't see a problem here. However, I should tell you that the EPA, there's rumors that the EPA is reinterpreting their regulations. And I said, reinterpreting their regulations, like what regulations? Well, because of COVID-19, they're considering reinterpreting their regulations such that if you remove virus from the water, that you lose your exemption.
But hold on a second, Jim, but exemption from what exactly?
Okay, if you're considered a pesticide, first of all, it takes two to three years to register with the EPA as a pesticide. So if we were to go along with the EPA on this, say, okay, we'll just be a pesticide, we'd be off the market for 2 or 3 years. But in addition to that, there's all sorts of things that we don't want to put on our filter. You have to put on, this is, hazardous material, how you dispose of it, different labels, keep out of children. They're all, if you look at the EPA's manual on the labels, I forget what it is, but if my memory serves me correctly, there's like 30 pages of stuff that you have to look through and you have to put all these labels. We don't want to put that on our water filter. We don't want to say, oh yeah, we're hazardous material, and we don't want to be off the market for 2 or 3 years. Plus, we think the whole thing is bizarre.
Let me stop you there for a second, Jim. It's so bizarre. I mean, this is what's driving everybody nuts. I mean, how can a water filter that simply removes things from water be considered a pesticide? I mean, under that logic, if I take my car and run over bacteria in my driveway, then the EPA could declare all cars to be pesticides. It's insane.
That's kind of the issue. But we, to be honest with you, Mike, we still do not have clarity as to why they're labeling us a pesticide. And that's one of the reasons for the lawsuits, because we want to know, okay, tell us specifically why you are claiming that we are now a pesticide. Because the information that we have gotten from the EPA is they conflate virus removal, bacteria removal, silver in the filter, and we're saying, wait a minute, whoa. Tell us specifically why you consider us to be a pesticide. To date, we have not gotten that answer, and here we are in a federal lawsuit, and that we've had stop sale orders, issued, 10 months ago. We still do not have clarity on that issue. Now, the second thing that you have that your audience should know is that there's also a treated article exemption. And basically, that says that if you put something in the filter or anything, okay, to protect the article itself, it is exempt from being a pesticide. And so, for example, if we delivered silver content into the water and it went and killed bacteria or viruses, that would be considered a pesticide. However, if we put silver in the filter itself to protect the filter, then it is a treated article, which is also exempt. Okay.
Right. And we can confirm your filtration system does not emit silver into the post-filter water. Your silver.
It does not. And that's what's confusing, because we've actually submitted to the EPA testing that we conducted whereby they determined that there was no silver getting into the effluent water.
That's right.
The silver is there to protect the filter itself.
Right.
So So basically, they issued stop sale orders on, and then earlier this year, they began to issue more stop sale orders to more of our dealers. And then they shut down one of our third party manufacturers, issued a stop sale order on them. And then they issued a stop sale order on our manufacturing facility.
That's unbelievable.
Berkey International.
Well,
yes.
they can the EPA can order you to stop manufacturing a water filter. I mean, this seems insane. Has any other water filter been subjected to the same orders by the EPA?
No, we have not, not to our knowledge. And, you know, I could talk more about this. I think if I had my attorney on, I don't want to get too much into, you know, issues that may be squishy. But I can tell you this, that it appears to us that they're holding Berkey to a standard that they're not holding any other outdoor water filter to. And I can tell you that if you have an outdoor filter that is capable of removing pathogenic bacteria from the water, okay, and that is used as an outdoor filter, it's going to have some substance in it that's going to protect that filter. Otherwise, what happens is the bacteria starts growing in the filter.
That's right.
Grow through. And within a short period of time, you will end up with more bacteria in the filtered water than you have in the pre-filtered water.
Yeah. Right.
And so this is an absolute must. And if you go up and, you know, I would just recommend, you know, to your audience, go up and Google outdoor camping water filters and then go to the images and just scroll through the images. You'll see hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds of them. And so to get back to your statement, yes, it does appear that Berkey is being held to a standard that no one else in the industry is being held to.
So what's extraordinary about this, I mean, there are so many extraordinary things. This, you know, the United States Senate needs to express an outcry against the EPA over this, I believe. This is outrageous because we're facing natural disasters. We just had the situation in Maui with the fires where people lost a clean water supply. We've got an approaching storm, Hurricane Lee, that's threatening the entire northeast coastline right now, and more hurricanes on the way. Florida was just hit by another hurricane. You know, people lose municipal water systems frequently during these natural disasters. And as a result, and they also lose a power supply. The power grid goes down. And so your filters, Jim, as you are well aware, they work when the power grid does not work because they use gravity only. They don't have pumps. They don't have, you know, electrical components. So they work in third world countries as well. And as a result, if people don't have access to these devices to clean their water, then they may, you know, try to drink contaminated water out of desperation, or they're subject to, you know, rescue water supplies, which may not be available because roads may be out and so on. It's like the EPA is almost at war with FEMA. You know, I mean, FEMA loves water filters, but the EPA is at war with water filters. It boggles the mind, Jim.
Well, you know, and it's quite confusing, you know, to try to put together the logic that goes behind this. First of all, the EPA came up with the purification standard that they required that viruses be removed at, I believe it was log 4, and pathogens be removed at log 6. And that you test the effluent water to make sure that there's no biocide that was placed in there. They came up with that standard. And so that is the standard that EPA came up with. And yet now it appears they're saying, okay, if you meet that standard, then you are now a pesticide, which was not in the original EPA, purification standard that they published back in the I believe, 80s. And so this doesn't make sense. And then, interestingly, the EPA recently came out and said that there were about 3,500 somewhat water filtration or municipal water supplies that were contaminated with Susan, what was the name of that? PFAS, the, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The forever chemicals, yeah.
Forever chemicals, that's the word I'm thinking of. And so they announced that. Well, then you have a group called the Environmental Working Group that went out and decided to test filters to see which ones removed the forever chemicals. And they found that our Berkey systems removed it to below detectable levels. And so that news got out, and actually CBS News came out and said, you know, made a big, you know, exposure on this, and actually recommended Berkey filters.
Yeah.
Yet in the background, the EPA is doing everything they can to make them unavailable to Americans so they can get those PFA, the forever chemicals out. So it really makes you scratch your head. It really does.
Now, Jim, what is the status of the supply chain of the big Berkey products or all the Berkey filters? Because I'm a little bit confused. I don't know where these are still available, or, you know, your manufacturing, you said, has been at least partially shut down. Can people still get these somewhere, or are they completely unavailable, or what's the situation?
Okay, that's a good question. Okay, so yes, there are some of our dealers that still have inventory, and you can purchase them from the dealers, and and you can purchase them on Amazon. We have certified dealers on Amazon. I believe you can. I haven't been keeping up with the inventory of the dealers that are on Amazon. I would caution, though, folks, not to buy the black Berkey elements on Amazon. There's a major counterfeiting problem there.
I mentioned that in my podcast. Yeah, counterfeiting. Yeah, your filter elements are frequently counterfeited, and then people blame you for the non-performance of the counterfeit filters.
Right. And I want to caution folks on purchasing counterfeit filters. And let me just give you give the audience a couple signs where you purchased a counterfeit filter. And we've actually stopped, contacted companies that are selling the counterfeit filters, and they truly believe that they're buying the authentic ones, and they send us, you know, copies of their purchase orders from these various Oriental companies, and they think they're actually buying them. So, I mean, the deception actually goes down to the sellers. But
yeah,
with respect to Amazon, okay, we have a huge, huge counterfeiting problem there. And if folks purchase black Berkey purification elements and it comes in a shiny box, you bought a counterfeit.
A shiny box?
If it's in a shiny box, ours are a dull finish, and so that would be a counterfeit filter.
Huh.
Another indication is if you buy the black Berkey elements and they come shrink-wrapped, that's a counterfeit filter.
We do
not shrink wrap our filters. Another indication is if you buy a black Berkey set of filters, they come with a brown priming button. If you get a yellow or orange priming button, you bought a counterfeit.
No kidding.
And the problem with the counterfeits are, like I told you before, if you do not protect that filter, then you can end up with grow-through in your filter, and your post-filtered water can end up with more bacteria than the pre-filtered water. So it's, and God only knows what's in these counterfeit filters. I mean, they're coming from China, and I have some serious issues with that, you know, what might be in those filters. But I would strongly warn folks not to use counterfeit filters, because there is nobody has a clue how they perform, what's in them, what do they put in the water. It really could be a problem. Now, if you're buying a system, you know, a big Berkey, a Royal Berkey, a Travel Berkey, we're not having any counterfeits with those. So if you buy the entire system, you don't have to worry about buying a counterfeit filter.
All right, so Jim,
so there's two ways you can do.
I don't think you can see this, but I have a package of your black Berkey elements here, and guys, do camera four on this. Get a closer shot. Yeah. And what I see, Jim, is there's a little bit of bubble wrap, but just a light layer of bubble wrap, and then a filter element. Does that all seem correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes. And if you could, can you see the priming button? There should be a little. It looks like a washer, a thick washer.
Well, the thick washer I have is black. If that's what you're talking about. It looks black to me.
Really?
But then again, it's kind of dark in the studio here, so.
Well, that's possible that you have an older set of filters there.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how long these have been sitting here.
Yeah, okay. So I think at one time we did, but that was years ago. But that was before all the counterfeits came out.
Oh,
and
here
so
we go.
Haven't run into any. But if you can show the priming button is about maybe quarter inch.
I got
thick.
It. Yeah, it's brown. Yeah, it's just brown. Wasn't. Okay. It just wasn't so attached to the filter. Yeah. Okay. I was just looking at the O-ring. I guess the ring, the washer.
Yep. And so if you see that and it is a. It is a yellow or an orange. Okay, that's not our product.
So brown is real, yellow or orange is counterfeit for this.
Counterfeit, yes.
Okay, that's really good to know. And the box is not shiny. The box is like dull cardboard.
Matte, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's correct.
Okay, now these two filter elements, I'm holding them up for the viewing audience. Whatever media you have in these elements is pretty darn amazing because, as you know, we have independently subjected your filter system to quite a number of harsh tests over the years. We've thrown lead into your filters. We've put glyphosate through them. We've put, cesium and also cadmium and all kinds of stuff. And frankly, your filter just consistently performs either at the very top or among the top three in everything that we've ever done. And so I don't know what secret sauce you have in here, but it's absolutely working.
We have a proprietary blend of various different media types that work synergistically together. And it took us about 2 years to develop that filter. We were working with, we wanted the flow to speed up. We actually had some previous filters, and these are about 8 to 10 times faster. And but we're really anal about getting as much stuff out of the water as is possible without removing the beneficial minerals, because you can speak to this from maybe a chemist's perspective. But as you know, if you have two solutions, you have a hypotonic solution and a hypertonic solution. And you mix them together, the ions from the hypertonic solution, which is mineral rich, will flow into the hypotonic solution until they reach equilibrium. Now, that sounds like it's a lot of chemistry talk that doesn't have any application, but here's where it has application. If you are drinking on a regular basis hypotonic solution, which means no minerals in it, then what's going to happen is when it goes in your body, the minerals that are in your body are going to go in and bring that into equilibrium with the chemical structure of your body. And then, of course, when you urinate, you're urinating out all the good chemical or minerals that are so hard to get, the healthful minerals that are hard to get in your body, you're urinating them out. So this is not a good long-term solution. For water treatment, in my view. Now, that isn't to say that you don't ever use a hypotonic solution, because I do. I use distilled water when I'm doing cleanses, because you want to be able to pull, especially if you're doing like a cleanse for heavy metals, you want to pull as much out as possible. So you don't want to put water in there that is already mineral rich.
Right.
But on a regular basis, when you're just drinking your water, you know, you want to have the healthful minerals. So that was our goal when we created these filters. We wanted to take all the bad stuff out, but we wanted to leave all the good stuff.
So Jim, you know, I think people's focus on clean water is, you know, I mean, we have the corporate media talking about COVID in the water supply, testing COVID in the water, or testing COVID in sewage, and so on. And so, and also the municipal water systems not being trustworthy, you know, lead pipes that are putting lead into the water supply, into the tap water. And like you said, the PFAS, the forever chemicals and rocket fuel chemicals and so much more. I think more now than ever before, people are really concerned about having clean water in their home. And so people want to get reliable, you know, tested, certified water filtration devices. So what could you give us a hint of what's the best way that people could get their hands on Berkey water filters right now, even while all this is going on?
Well, first of all, I would say we've got this, we have this court issue that is, you know, where we've sued the EPA, and the judge should be making a ruling within the next week or two. So it's just pray okay. that, you know, the judge, finds in favor of our petitions. The second thing is we do have dealers out there that still have Berkey products, authentic Berkey products in stock. And what I would tell you is if you find them on Amazon and it's, you can get the full stainless system, I'm talking about a Travel Berkey or a Royal Berkey, Crown Berkey, Big Berkey, we have not had any problem with the counterfeiting our entire systems. Wow. So if you're buying an entire system, you should feel comfortable buying them on Amazon. And with and if you don't like Amazon, I would just suggest that folks Google, you know, or DuckDuckGoGo, authentic Berkey dealers, and you'll come up with a list of authentic Berkey dealers.
Okay.
And you can contact them directly or go to their websites.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, look, I support all the Berkey dealers out there. We are one company. Our store does retail the Berkey filters as well. But I just want to say on the record, I support all the dealers out there that offer the authentic products. And I think we're also sold out of at least one of them. Yeah, this one's sold out right here. But look, bottom line, folks, is look, this is my opinion, not Jim's opinion, but I feel like our federal agencies are at war with us, we the people, and that they're doing insane, crazy things to deprive us of the tools that we need to protect our health. See, in my mind, Jim, and again, these are my words, not yours, but you know, just like the FDA tried to take away ivermectin. Ivermectin was saving people's lives. Now the EPA is trying to take away water filters while the same EPA approves pesticides to be sprayed on the food supply, organophosphate chemicals, for example, or atrazine, gender bender chemicals. We test for those in our lab, by the way, or glyphosate, you know, the most popular weed killer. It's insane to me that they can ban something that cleans up the water, but they can approve pesticides that contaminate the food supply. Are we living in an insane alternate universe? What the hell is going on, Jim?
I'm telling you from a business perspective, I am shocked that they are able to walk in and shut down a business that's been around for a quarter of a century. No discussion.
It's unreal.
No discussion. Yeah.
Well, look, I'll just say you're right. We have to pray. I know you have this court, this legal challenge in front of you. And I know you've taken time out of your busy schedule, Jim, to be with us today here. And I know we got to wrap this up. So I just want to say, look, we support you. Our audience supports you. America supports you. And we're going to pray for you to have a positive outcome here.
Thank you for your support. We really appreciate that. And we really, and I want to tell you, thank you very much for being interested in this issue. I'm very grateful that you are interested in this, Mike.
Well, as you know, Jim, I'm a prepper also, and I've often said, you know, if Every household should have a solution for clean water in an off-grid scenario. Every household, in my opinion. And maybe that's not a Berkey for every household. Maybe that's something. It's got to be something. You know, you can't just trust the municipal water system. If anything, we've learned, you know, from Michigan, you can't trust them. They're going to fudge the tests and cover up the lead poisoning until the population's all poisoned. And then, by the way, none of those people go to jail. Yeah, you notice that? When the government lies to you, they don't go to jail. No consequences for the government poisoning the people. But the government shuts down companies like yours or products like yours. It's just, it's unfathomable. But thank you, Jim. Any final thoughts you want to share before we wrap this up today?
Well, it's always been our goal to be able to afford the American people, and not just the American people, the global, the people worldwide. We've wanted to provide a product where you could take control of your water and that you could be self-sufficient in that one area, water. And as you know, you've got, you know, without air, you've got about 3 minutes. Without water, you have about 3 days. And without food, you can go up to 80 days. You know, I mean, you know, there's people in the Bible that fasted for 40 days, and I think Moses fasted for 80 days. And so, you know, in our view of the world, there's not a whole lot we can do about the air, but we can do something about the water. And so it's been our corporate goal since the inception to provide people with a means to be self-sufficient with their water. And so that's our goal. And we just hope that, you know, the good Lord will see fit that we'll be able to continue on that mission.
Well, amen to that. And thank you so much, Jim, for taking the time to join us today. And we wish you the best in the conclusion of this legal challenge. And please keep us posted so I can spread the word to our audience about what's going on with the availability of your filtration systems. Thank you so much, Jim.
Well, thank you, Mike. And thank you so much for having me on. You have a great day now.
Okay, you too. Take care. And so that was Jim Shepherd, everybody, from the Berkey company. And look, I just want to say, I am glad that there's silver in these filtration elements, because I know about the properties of silver, and I know that silver protects the integrity of the filter from bacterial growth. And you don't want bacteria growing in the filter, and these filters can tend to stay, you know, wet for a long period of time after the filtration is finished. And they can also be wet because these tend to hang down in the, you know, receiving container where they can be filled with water, obviously. So I'm glad they use silver, and I wouldn't want a filter system that didn't have silver in it, by the way. And again, we've tested these using our ISO accredited laboratory. You know, we have two ICP-MS instruments there, and we use an EPA approved method to conduct these tests. We pass proficiency testing and audits and so on. We are a legitimate world recognized laboratory, and we've tested this. There's no silver in the final product, by the way. And these elements remove the lead, they remove the glyphosate, they remove the cesium. We've conducted these tests. We've published the results. We've been very public about it with videos and articles and so much more. The actual statistics in, you just go on naturalnews.com and search for Big Berkey. You can see our test results. So the fact that our own government, and I can't imagine any other government in the world doing this. Why would a government attack a product that filters water and makes water clean and safe to drink for its own citizens? Why would any government in the world do that? You can only imagine a government doing that as an act of war against another government, another nation. Like if you were trying to poison another country, you might attack their water filtration system so that their citizens are poisoned, right? That's an act of war against civilian infrastructure of that target nation. Well, in my opinion, what the EPA is doing here is kind of like that. It's like the EPA is waging war against the consumer product infrastructure of water filtration. It's an act of war, in my view. We have a rogue, out of control federal government with nearly every agency now violating the rules like crazy, the FDA as well. You know, not to mention the ATF and others, just violating every rule in the book, carrying out what I consider to be largely criminal acts of warfare against the American people. It's unacceptable. You know how I feel about this. This is insane. And this is why you need to be prepared with your own gear. You've got to have your own water filtration system, and you need a backup system, and you need a way to purify water. And by the way, you need other gear, because you can't depend on the system for money or medicine or news or anything. It's all fraud and lies and warfare against the American people. That's where we are right now, here in the fall of 2023. I guess it's the fall of the U.S. empire, actually. But that's my take on it. Those are my opinions, not Berkey's opinions, just to be clear. And I'll say this. Look, if there's a representative from the EPA that wants to come on and join my show, I welcome you. You want to come on, reach out to us. We'll have you on the show, and I'll ask you these questions as well, starting with, what the hell are you doing? Why are you banning a water filter that makes water clean and safe to drink? That's insane. But the EPA is doing that. I think nothing is shocking anymore to the American people after COVID and the jab genocide and the depopulation and the food sabotage and now Biden taking out the energy infrastructure of Alaska, which will cripple the U.S. economy. Like, nobody is surprised anymore, because this is just straight up federal government sabotage of the U.S. economy, the U.S. infrastructure, food and water supplies to decimate the American people. This is a war being waged upon us by our own unelected representatives who, in my opinion, rigged the election, stole it, took office, occupied the halls of government, and then weaponized those government agencies against we the people. That's what we're suffering under right now. We are living in a battlefield called the continental United States. Well, also includes Hawaii, as we found out recently with the fires. Also includes Alaska, but we are living in a battlefield, and our government is waging a war of attrition. They are waging siege warfare against we the people, economic warfare, information warfare, chemical, biological warfare, infrastructure warfare, energy warfare, food scarcity, starvation, self-replicating bioweapons, shedding, the whole deal. This is all being done against us, and it's all deliberate. Again, that's my opinion. That's not the official opinion of the Berkey Company, but it's my show, so I get to state my own opinions. If you disagree with me, explain what the hell the EPA is doing. Shouldn't the EPA actually be advocating water filters that work? But instead, they're destroying the industry, all by design. So that's my take on things. Thank you for watching today. Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com and also the publisher of naturalnews.com. Be sure to check out both websites for more updates on this issue. We'll be in touch with the Berkey Water Company, water filter company, and we'll get more updates from Jim Shepard and his attorney as this saga unfolds. So thank you for tuning in today. God bless you all. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com and our wide variety of storable food and really high nutrition products. I've got some on my desk, some of my favorites. The one in the center there is coconut milk powder, which is really super delicious. It's mineral rich, and it adds a fatty, creamy, luscious, delicious taste to lots of recipes, including smoothies. We've got quinoa there on the right, which, of course, is a gluten-free. It's kind of a grain. It's not technically a grain, but people use it like a grain. It's really delicious in a lot of recipes. Very high in protein. And I remember eating this when I was hiking in the Andes Mountains. And the local people who helped us, they would bring quinoa and eggs. And they would just get water from the mountain streams, and they would boil the quinoa and eggs, and we would have quinoa egg soup right there on the trail outside of our camping tents. That's on the way. I was hiking to Machu Picchu at that time, and we did the long hike, not the bus ride. It was hiking over the Andes Mountains up to 14,000 feet and back down, and we were powered by quinoa. Okay, then we've also got goji berries on the left there, which are, of course, from the Tibetan regions of modern-day China. But we do all the testing for heavy metals and glyphosate, as well as them being certified organic. So ultra clean goji berries, world-class quality, available now at healthrangerstore.com, along with many other products such as nascent iodine and also Iosat potassium iodide tablets. You know, good to get that as an emergency measure. We've got pea protein. We've got organic superfruit sea powder, which is really delicious. I use this with blended frozen bananas and frozen blueberries. You can also use freeze-dried blueberries with this, and it makes a super delicious fruit smoothie. Throw in a couple of goji berries in there, or like a small handful, and you've really boosted the nutrition. Organic cacao nibs, and so much more. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com, and we appreciate your support. Thanks for watching.